Hey everyone, it's Marvin. This episode of Books and Boba is brought to you by Home Interrupted, a new podcast from our partners at Feet in Two Worlds. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to
Whoa!
Potluck.
Listening to Books and Boba, a book club and podcast featuring books by Asian and Asian American authors. My name is Marvin Yue.
And I'm Rira Yu.
And on this episode of Books and Boba, we'll be interviewing Dami Lee, the author and illustrator of the upcoming graphic novel slash memoir, Be Everything at Once, which is a collection of comics from Dami, who is a pretty prolific
webtoon webtoon writer and creator. She is the creator of As Per Usual, which is a lot of the comics are in this book, Be Everything at Once. She's also the creator of Illustrated Internet, where she illustrates tweets and funny things from the internet. And it's really great. And you can find those two comics on Webtoon, which is an app, and also a website that's made by Line or Naver, I think. Same company.
Yeah. We talked to Dami about a lot of stuff, about her background, about making the book, about the comics.
She's also a writer at The Verge. So she is a very talented lady who juggles a lot of things.
Working, professional, creative. We're very excited to talk to her. But before we get to the interview, don't forget that the Books and Boba Book Club pick for the month of July is A Tale for the Time Being by Ruth Ozeki. Hopefully you all are making good progress. I have not started, so I need to get going.
I've read maybe like the first three chapters, I think.
How's it been so far?
I've actually been listening to it, and Ruth Ozeki is the narrator for it. So it's been like pretty interesting because I don't listen to audiobooks usually, but just because of like time constraints, like I've been listening to it.
Great.
And it's been pleasant so far. I know people on our Goodreads forums and on Twitter, they're very excited to read it, or it's their second time reading it because it's
cool.
It's that great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and our August book club pick is Crazy Rich Asians,
yeah.
if you guys did not guess that already.
Just in time for the August release of the movie. This will be another one of those times where I have watched the movie before reading the book. So I will be bringing that perspective to the
You can't
book club.
See my face right now, but...
But I'm excited to find... I've had the book for a while now. It's been on my bookshelf for like at least a year.
Oh, so it's been your pachinko, pretty much. Because like I had pachinko for a year, and it took me like a long time to actually open it.
Yes. Crazy Rich Asians is my pachinko. And with that out of the way, here is our interview with Dami Lee, the author of Be Everything at Once. And welcome back to Books and Boba. We're here with Dami Lee, the author and creator of Be Everything at Once, a graphic memoir.
Yeah, you can call it that.
Memoir.
Based on your life and also your
comics, yeah. You know, like 4-panel comics.
Cool. So at the start of this interview, I need to say that I haven't read the book yet because Rira has been hogging it.
I'm sorry.
But from all accounts, it's really, really good. So I'm excited to learn more about it, and I'm supposed to get my turn at it after this interview. So
yes, okay. That's why I brought it. Brought it because I couldn't hand it over to you earlier. But I really enjoyed it. I found it pretty relatable. I'm Korean American, uh-huh. and there were a lot of parts where I was like, wow, this is just my life. And
that's all I wanted to hear, like, making this book, I guess. I really just wanted more Korean Americans and, like, people who've had that experience of, like, going back to the motherland and feeling kind of, like, out of place to relate to that. Growing up, I didn't really see books that kind of, like, covered that kind of stuff. And, I'm really interested in hearing, like, from other people, like, what they think of the book. Mm-hmm. Like, putting comics on Instagram, it's, like, kind of hard to see, like, people's reactions to it, because most of the time it's just, like a like or, like, a LOL or whatever. It's, like, there's not that much depth to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm really interested to hear people's reactions.
Yeah, there's, like, one comic in your book where, it's you at, like, an American school and, like, your classmates are like, oh, like, she's such a fob. And uh-huh. then you go to Korea yeah. and then they're like, oh, you talk Korean with an accent. Yeah. And pretty much the last panel in that four-panel mm-hmm. comic is, you can be both.
Yeah.
It's like, truth. It's like,
did you know, like, you're allowed to be both? Like, nobody ever says it.
Yeah, nobody ever says it.
Yeah.
I know that you were a three-time immigrant.
Yeah.
You were born in Seoul, and mm-hmm. you immigrated to Texas, mm-hmm. and then you were raised in California.
Yeah.
And you went back to Korea yeah. a couple times. Mm-hmm.
So we went back and forth a couple times, and every time we'd, like, come back to America, I would be like, okay, like, this is it. Like, I'm not going to, like, make any mistakes this time. Like, I'm better at English now. Like, I can do things. And I'd, like, tell myself, like, not to mess up this time. So yeah, I do think you get a little bit better at America, like, every time. Yeah, it's like a learning thing.
When did you start drawing?
Yeah, I've always loved to draw, and I would always, like, doodle, like, on the edges of my workbooks, and always had a pretty, like, active imagination. And I didn't really think of art as a, like, a real career. Like, I didn't think I could, you know, make money from it or, like, you know. And, I always grew up thinking, like, a cartoonist is just something that, you know, people aspire to be, or kids aspire to be, like, the same way they aspire to be, like, Batman or, like, a bear. But, yeah, I didn't start drawing it for real until, like, college. And even then, it was just kind of, like, a thing I did to make money. Like, it was like, so Marvin and I, we both went to UCSD.
Yeah.
And I started drawing for The Guardian, which is, like, our school newspaper. And I, there was a test where it was basically to see if you could be an editorial illustrator or, like, a comics illustrator.
So mm-hmm. it means that you had, like, a layout test or
yeah,
some sort.
Right. I think I applied to be, like, their layout editor, which was, like, totally, you know, I was not qualified for. But then I just, like, went in, and they're like, they gave me a newspaper, and they were like, okay, you have to recreate this exactly in InDesign in 1 hour. Oh. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. But then I just, like, tried to fake my way through it. Like, after an hour, I, like, gave it to them, and they're like, yeah, this is bad. But I drew, like, a sample, like, comics strip for them, and they're like, oh, like, you could actually, like, do this. And yeah. They paid, like, $10, like, per comic, which at the time I was like, yeah, hell yeah, like, getting money for drawing, yeah.
They'll pay for my Burger King.
Yeah, my Burger King, yeah, every day.
We were just talking about how because I graduated a couple years before you mm-hmm. you came in, and in between that time, they extended our, like, student center to include a 24-hour Burger King. And I'm always glad they did that after I graduated, because if that was there when I was there, I'd be dead.
Yeah.
I'd be dead right now.
I had, like, a ritual. I would, like, go to Burger King and order the veggie burger.
Okay.
And then I would take it to the 8th floor of Geisel. Geisel is our school library, and it kind of looks like a
spaceship. Yeah.
And they would say that, like, it has 8 floors, and each floor you go up, it gets quieter and quieter.
Yeah.
I would, like, take my Burger King to the 8th floor and just kind of, like, crinkle all the wrappers and, like, eat my burger. And that's how you wreck the curve.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, what were we talking about?
We were talking about
how you started drawing.
Oh yeah,
stuff.
For the Guardian.
Oh, yeah, I got really into burgers.
I know you were a BuzzFeed fellow for comics. Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
Oh yeah, so after UCSD, my parents wanted me to move back to Korea to live with them, and at first I was like, I really don't want to do that. Like I haven't been back in like years, and like my Korean's not that good, so I resisted a lot at first, and then. Like, I just decided to go because both of them were, like, getting older and, like, kind of sick. So I was like, oh, I should go and, like, be with them and be a good daughter. And then we kind of had, like, an unofficial deal where I would, like, stick it out for 3 years, like, see what life is like and, like, work at a company there. I had a job translating mobile games. Like, I would look at all the translations and, like, make sure they were, like, not too crazy and, like...
From Korean to English?
Yeah, Korean to English, and a lot of the mobile games there are pretty strange. Like, I worked on a couple that were like, oh, this is a fishing game, but there's also a love triangle involved. And so I would, like, look over the scripts and be like, what is happening? But, okay. And after a couple years of that, I was like, I don't really want to be doing this, and I don't know if I, like, you know, like, fit in too well here. But, I mean, it was still, like, a great experience. Like, I really think that everyone should live, you know, outside their country, like, at least once.
Outside of their comfort zone, yeah. At least. I can't imagine working for, like, corporate Korea.
Right.
Because, like, the culture there is, like, so strict. Yeah. And it's just steeped in patriarchy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, thankfully, my boss was, like, he's actually pretty great. And, you know, he really looked out for us. I worked on like a global team full of like a team full of foreigners, and we all kind of like got along together. And but one day I saw like a job application at BuzzFeed. It was for like a new team they were creating called BFF, and it was just like a team full of like artists and comic people and writers. And I was like, oh, like, this is like made for me. Like, I've been uploading comics to Tumblr like for a while now, and I should apply. And then like it happened really fast. Like, we did the Skype interview, and like everything happened in the span of like a week. And then I basically like packed all my bags and like left for New York. And yeah, like, I've been pretty happy ever since. I think
good. How have your and this is something that we I hate asking, but have your parents come around to, like, making money at drawing pictures?
Oh, well, so it's really interesting because in Korea, comics are a pretty, like, big industry there.
Mm-hmm. Like Line Comics.
Right. Okay. Yeah. There's a company called Naver, which is, like, the equivalent of Google over there, and they have a platform called Webtoons.
Okay.
And they launched the English version of that in America a couple years ago. So I think I was just, like, in the right place at the right time. I, like, pitched them my comic, and they were into it.
Those are the ones you can read online, right?
Yes. Like, okay. There's an app, and, like, people are always reading comics, like, on the subway over there. Yeah. It's, like, really crazy.
I may have binged one about, like, a ghost girl or something.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. The really scary, like, Halloween one. Like, yeah. That one, like,
I read a lot of webtoons.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I use the app all the time.
Yeah.
No shame.
Yeah. So my parents are, I think... They're, like, pretty proud, like, weirdly proud.
I mean, that's cool. I mean, when you can show, like, it's important that they can show it off to people
on,
like,
exactly.
a platform that's popular, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of makes me a little bit sad when people talk about, like, how many followers, like, somebody has.
Mm.
Like, when they use it as, like, a measure of, like, your success. But my parents totally use it. Like, when they, like, show their friends, like, my Instagram.
Mm.
It's, like, kind of weird. It's like, oh, I just see that you met, like, 10 years ago. He, like, follows you. I was like, whoa.
That's awesome.
So I know that you have, like, a couple of webtoons. You have As Per Usual, mm-hmm. which is a lot of those comics are in your book,
mm-hmm.
and you also have Illustrated Internet.
Oh, yeah.
So how did each of those comics come about? Was mm-hmm. that just something that you sat down one day and were like, mm-hmm. I'm just gonna do this? Or was it, like, a more...
The Illustrated Internet is, it came about from the BuzzFeed BFF at first. It was an idea I had about, you know, like, there's all this great, content online, like, a lot of great jokes, and, like, people are just, like, super funny online, and I thought it'd be interesting to take, like, tweets and, like, Tumblr posts and, like, illustrate them as comics. And my favorite one that I've done is the one on Twitter. There's this, it's like a parody of the Outkast song, I'm Sorry, Miss Jackson. And this guy, Josh Nalvin, he did a tweet that was like, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, I am four eels. And I illustrated that one. And actually what happened with that was I posted that to Reddit, and my agent's husband actually saw that, and he was like, oh, like this would make like a good comic, or this would make a good book. Mm-hmm. So she reached out to me, and that's actually how I got like a book deal.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, nice. So thanks to Reddit and Twitter. Yeah.
What was your feeling when you got that call from like your agent saying, hey, you like, yeah, you're going to be able to publish a book?
Yeah, it was very surreal. Like, she reached out and we had a meeting, and nothing really felt real until actually, like, after I got the deal and like I started working on the book. It was like, honestly, like the busiest 3 months of my life. Like, they only gave me like 3 months to work on the book, and I probably like could have asked for more time, but I kind of just like am very extreme and intense, and I was like, I gotta like finish this. So there's, I think there's like 160 pages in there, and like half of them are new comics and half of them are like collections, like from As Per Usual, The Egg Girl. So I tried to like kind of fit all those together like into a narrative. So like starting with my family's like immigration experience, mm-hmm, and going from like childhood to becoming an adult like in Korea and coming back to New York, just like following my life's journey.
How do you, what's your process in creating the comics? Because I know these are digital, mm-hmm, instead of like pen and paper.
Oh yeah, I for sure cannot draw on pen and paper. Well, I just kind of like make an outline of, you know, the thing I want to draw. And I use like Clip Studio Paint, which is like a program a lot of like manga artists use. Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah. I keep all my ideas like in an app called Google Keep. It's kind of like a little post-it app. And a lot of times like I'll like jot something down and like look back at it a few days later. I'm like, what does this mean? Like, I don't remember writing this down.
So Rira, do you have any favorite parts of the book?
Oh, I have so many. Like, there's one where it's just like, I forgot what it was called, but mm-hmm, it was just like you going throughout your day. It's like worry, 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 oh, worry, yeah, worry. Yeah. And then it's like at midnight, it's like, oh, I have an idea, yeah, for
that's
my work.
Actually exactly how it goes. Yeah.
And then like right next to that comic was just like being like, oh, like I'll turn something on in the background. And it was like the Great British Bake Off. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I binged through that show like so quickly, yeah, along with Terrace House.
Oh, it's yeah. Like the good thing about the Great British Bake Off is you don't need subtitles for it, whereas for Terrace House I do. So I can't like have Terrace House on in the background while I draw. Yeah. But yeah, it's nice to have like something soothing on in the back.
So because of this book, you're now headed to San Diego Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. As of this recording, you'll be there. How does that feel to be like invited to this big, pretty much mecca of pop culture?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Like, even though I went to college in San Diego, I never went to the Comic-Con.
We avoided it when we were there.
Yeah, I always thought it was like kind of crazy. Yeah. But I'm super excited to go and like meet a bunch of people. I'm going to be dressed up as Waluigi. I'm super excited to dress up. I also like packed the egg sweater with me. I don't actually wear it like ever in public because I feel really weird about that. But I thought like for Comic-Con might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been going to Comic-Con for a couple years now, and I feel like there's more and more like Asian representation, mm-hmm, and for different things. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
Yeah, I really wish more people would draw comics, like, even if they're not like that good at drawing. Or I was telling my friend jokingly one day, I was like, honestly, like all it takes to make good comics is you just have to be a good person. Like, I just think like I find making comics easier than writing. And it's just like for comics, I try to like condense the dialogue, or there's only so much you can fit into one panel. But I kind of like the challenge of like trying to fit like as much as I can into like one small sentence. And I feel like that's a little bit easier to convey, you know, like all the emotions that I have.
Have you been like, before you started making webcomics, would you, were you reading a lot of webcomics, or was comics a big part of your, your upbringing?
Yes, I always loved reading comics, like especially going back to Korea. When I was in third grade, I kind of had to like learn to brush up on my Korean, and how I did that was through reading like Pokemon comics.
Nice.
Just like reading, trying to read everything in Korean really helped me learn. And especially like webtoons, there's like a lot of like great Korean comics that are out there. One of them, one of my favorites is called Yameyori. And she's, I think she's like around like my age, and like she draw, or she makes a lot of like food. But it's like kind of like amateurish, and she documents the whole process, and it's like really funny. And I actually like reached out to her when I was in Korea. I was like, I really want to like meet you. And that's one of the great things I've discovered through doing comics, is like how great of a community there is. It's just like, I never really found like people like myself until I like started drawing comics.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, like, I've lived in New York for, like, 3 years, but I'm still, like, kind of, you know, trying to get used to living there. I have a lot of feelings about New York. A lot of it is bad, but I do think that there's, like, a huge, like, vibrant, like, comics community, like, especially in Brooklyn. It's a lot of fun, like, meeting other cartoonists out there.
The way my friend described it to me is, like, you put up with living in New York for all the stuff you can do in New York.
Right.
So, like, it's you put up with the small apartments and the noise and everything for all the things that... You know, especially as a young adult, it's you can put up with it, and it'll be, you know, and focus on, you know, building your career and, and
totally.
Like that.
Yeah.
There's actually a comic in your book where it is like my feeling about New York on a good day, my feeling about New York on a bad day. And I also went to school in New York.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, yeah.
Well, especially coming from like California, especially coming from San Diego too.
Yeah.
Although Seoul probably is like similar.
It is very similar.
Like,
but it's a lot cleaner.
Right.
And a lot more convenient, let me tell you that.
Yeah, I always like to compare Seoul and New York as like the Stranger Things upside down versions of each other.
Okay.
I think you probably know which one's the upside down. But it's like people always describe Korea as like a fun hell, and New York or America is like a boring heaven. Yeah, but I guess probably not so much anymore these days.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard the trains are pretty bad right now.
Oh yeah, actually, like yesterday, like a lot of the subways were flooded in New York, and I was just like reading up on it on Twitter and like looking at those photos, and I was like, I'm so glad I'm in LA right now.
Yeah, I do not miss hurricane season in the East Coast for sure. I lived in DC for a while.
Oh, okay.
And our trains were on fire half the time.
No.
So
on fire.
Yeah, our tracks literally like, or the line that I take to get into the city is half the time is not really like whenever it's down, it's because it's on fire.
Yeah, I was waiting for a train outdoors one time, and like the tracks caught on fire. And I like filmed it and I put it on Twitter. I was like, MTA, like do something. And all of the reactions were like, this is normal. Like, why are you freaking out? Like, oh, you're just like new here.
That is like, sometimes I don't get like, I get that it makes you tough, but at the same time, wouldn't it be better if it was fixed?
Yeah, wouldn't it be better if things just worked? Like, just an idea.
It's not a character flaw. It's a character, what's the opposite of character flaw?
It's a charm.
It's a charm.
Work.
Yeah.
So is there a moment in your comics career where you thought, I finally made it?
I guess, like, this book, it was always, like, a dream of mine to, like, put out a book. And honestly, like, having done comics for such a long time now, I'm kind of over it. I don't know how much longer I want to continue with the Egg Girl. But I'm interested in other forms of storytelling, like through comics. Even though, like, this being, like, my first book and, like, learning everything about the publishing process and, like, how slow it is, but also, like, how frantic it can be at times, like, I've learned a lot, but I also kind of want to do another book. Like, it's kind of addicting now.
We talk to authors about the whole publishing process mm-hmm. sometimes, and it seems like a lot of putting your trust in other people, too. Mm-hmm.
My agent told me that publishing is, like, the slowest industry in the world, and I believe her. I think we first got in contact about, like, 2 years ago, wow. and it's just been such a long process, and... like the book's maybe like a couple weeks out from release day, and I just like can't wait for people to read it.
Yeah.
It comes out August 7th.
Yes.
So if you guys are looking to purchase it, yeah. it should be out by then.
Are you doing anything special for the book release?
I'm really not. I'm just gonna take it easy. Like the thing that kind of I'm most worried about is when I was making it, I was like, yeah, like the new comics that I'm making for this book are like, I think they're really good and funny. like I'm most motivated by fear. And like, it was 3 months of planning and scheduling. And like I had a quota of like comics I needed to hit. And so it was like, I had to draw a comic like every day, like for 3 months. And like it was kind of sad, a little bit sad to me that I can't like post the book exclusive comics online. Cause I'm so used to like, putting everything immediately online, like that's like the fun of it, I think, for me, like the instant gratification I get,
which is the complete opposite of the publishing industry.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's super weird to me to adjust to that, but I really just want everyone to see it. I'm so desperate.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
and congratulations on the upcoming book launch.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's always exciting to see debuts.
Mm-hmm.
Because now writing, I guess like when you started doing comics, it was like for fun, right? Mm-hmm. Is it still fun now that it's like,
it's now
work?
That it's like a job, yeah. and like I need it to survive in New York. You know, it's like when I'm doing it, like when I'm actually in the process of drawing it, I'm like, I hate this so much. Like I hate drawing. Like I want to be doing something else. And then like when I look back on like the things that I've done, it's like, oh, I'm glad I like made time for this. And you know, yeah, I'm just glad that it happened.
In your profile, it says that you're a fan of 90s slow jams. I just right. wanted to ask, like, out of curiosity, like, are there some favorite jams?
I like Boyz II Men, like nice. Janet Jackson. My friends and I, we have like a Google Docs, like a sheet of karaoke jams that we want to hit when we go.
Nice.
So it hasn't been updated in a while, but we do like to sing the slow jams when we're there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the 90s aren't going to change, so
yeah.
I think you're pretty good.
Yeah. Like these days, I don't really listen to new music anymore. I just, like, I don't know what to listen to, so I just go back to the classics.
Yeah. It's kind of sad that the 90s are classics now.
I know.
I don't know, like early 2000s is yeah. is
I mean,
like
it's coming back
now.
Right now. It's the nostalgia thing right now. It's like Boyz II Men, not Boyz II Men, Backstreet Boys are coming back.
Oh, yeah. I really wanted to see them. I'm actually going to go see Britney Spears.
Oh, in
next
Vegas?
Week. Nice. No, in New York.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Any other thoughts about the book?
I just want to say, like, I was really grateful when I was reading it because... like we've read a lot of books for this book club mm-hmm. and a lot of them, like when it's about the immigrant experience, it's mm-hmm. very dark.
Right. Yeah.
It's very dark. And yeah. like it's really important for yeah. To show like the struggle that mm-hmm. immigrants go through. Mm-hmm. And you did that, but mm-hmm. like in such a humorous way, such as like you like forgetting Korean
right.
and like your mom forcing you to write
yeah.
Diary entries.
Right. Yeah. It's such a... like difficult topic I think to talk about because everyone's experience is so different but yeah, like for me, when I think back on our family's experience, I just remember like we were all like so much younger, like my parents were like in their I don't know like 30s or 40s and like my brother he's like 7 years older than me, so we have like quite a big age gap, and like I just remember those times as being like when we were all like living together in one house. Like now everyone's like separated
yeah.
and my brother has his own family now, but it's like when I think back on that, it's like, oh, like that's when we were the closest and we were, you know, like
yeah.
going to the grocery store to rent like VHS tapes, you know, like of the Korean variety shows that we missed out on. So yeah, I was like, I look back on it with a fondness, like almost like simpler times when we were like a little bit naive and
totally. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's something that I think a lot of people can relate to, especially the whole like empty nest thing, because it's just been a while since I've had a dinner with my whole family, mm-hmm. because we're all over the place now, mm-hmm. too. And yeah, I think that's part of the reason why, like, did you watch, did you see the bottle short in front of
yes.
my Incredibles?
Yeah.
And I think that's why that also hits Asian families mm-hmm. harder, totally. Or immigrant families harder.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask really quick, the title, Be Everything at Once. Was that, because I haven't read the book yet, is that a running through line or is that just a...
I think it's a running through line.
Yeah. I kind of meant it in with two meanings, where it's about like the Korean American identity, like not really being sure like which one you should identify with more, or and also the other aspect where right now I'm trying to balance being like a reporter at The Verge and also like being like a freelance illustrator. Right. And I've never like been comfortable like jumping into being like a full-time artist is always something that I was never sure about. Like there was like a point in high school where I was like, oh, should I go to art school? Like I'd always been interested in art, but like the breaking point for me was like, I was in this like teen arts like program thing at like the local like museum. And one of the girls like in my program, I saw her like steal like a thing of paint, like from the museum. And like that just like really like rubbed me the wrong way. And I was like, oh, is this what art school is going to be like? Just like a couple of punks like running around and like just, yeah, it was kind of intimidating to me. So I just like, I majored in like the, I don't know, like the most open-ended major you can major in is like communications and poli-sci. And like, I don't know how much that helped me with, you know, what I'm doing right now, but I'm so glad I like got to have that college experience. But yeah, like I've always been like kind of scared to go with one thing. So like even right now I want to like learn, you know, as many other skills as I can and like kind of dive into, you know, other topics like beyond just, you know, cartooning about my egg girl.
Yeah. Was it difficult for you to like pick up journalism?
Yeah, I'm still not quite really sure how I feel about it. Because right now I'm like a social media manager, and I was like making videos and writing like in my free time, and I was like, oh, maybe I should just try to like do this full time. And it's it's scary to like put yourself out there, especially in the world of YouTube. But it's been interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So besides the book launch, what's next?
I don't know. Maybe just take it easy for a little bit and try to think of my next book idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we've been talking to Dami Lee, the author and illustrator of Be Everything at Once. That'll be out
August 7th.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty soon. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Excited to finally get the chance to read the book. Thank you, Riva, for bringing
sorry
it.
Sorry for hogging it.
Have a great Comic-Con. And
thank you.
Yeah, we'll see you around, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see you out there.
All right. That was our interview with Dami Lee. I hope you enjoyed our chat. If you're listening to this podcast right now, today, the day it comes out, you can still catch Dami at Comic-Con. Just check, search for the Chronicle Publishing booth. With that out of the way, next up, I'm actually hoping to get some audio at Comic-Con to share with you all. We might be doing some cross-posting with the Collabcast.
Mm-hmm. Marvin's going to be doing a panel with CB.
I'm putting together a panel segment for the Collabcast featuring CB Lee, Sarah Kuhn, and RF Kuang.
I heard about this yesterday when Marvin messaged me about it, and I was like, what do you mean this is for the Collabcast? They're all authors. They're all authors. Shouldn't it be like a Books and Boba special? But
You know, I'll leave it to Marvin. He is the producer of this podcast and of Collabcast, so...
I have many responsibilities, but it's all part of the Potluck Podcast Collective, so, you know, we can do some sharing.
I don't know. I'm just saying that we are a niche, and you are not taking advantage of that opportunity.
I was going to do some cross-promotion. That was the...
I did buy RF Kuang's The Poppy War because it was on sale recently. Mm. And I was like, okay, well, it costs less than coffee at the moment, so I will buy it.
Speaking of the Potluck Podcast Collective, Books and Boba is a proud member of the Potluck Collective. If you want to check out other Asian American hosted podcasts featuring unique voices and stories from the Asian American community, check out our website at www.podcastpotluck.com, where you can find other shows such as the Collabcast, which will be the other podcast where I'll be doing Comic-Con related coverage. So check that out. Special thanks also to Visual Communications. This episode was recorded at the Potluck Podcast Studio located within the Visual Communications office here in Little Tokyo, Los Angeles. Visual Communications, of course, is a nonprofit organization that supports the voices of AAPI media artists who empower communities and challenge perspectives. Learn more about their programs, such as the Academy Award qualifying Los Angeles Asian Pacific Film Festival at vconline.org. And thank you to VC for giving us the space to record it. What else? Oh, yeah. Join our Goodreads group. If you're new to Books and Boba, we do have a Goodreads group where we talk about book news, and about our and where our members can share their thoughts about our monthly book club picks, whether it's this month's book, last month's book, or last year's book. You can come and tell us your thoughts, especially those of you who are discovering us for the first time and going through our episodes. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and please introduce yourselves in the introduction forum.
And we also have a website.
Yeah,
booksandboba.com, and We are working on posts. Sorry if we haven't been consistent on that, but we are trying. We also have a post on there, which are recommendations for summer reading.
Yeah, Riva did a summer reads book list.
It's a lot of books.
A lot of good picks.
Summer is like halfway over, but you have time to read some of them.
Thank you so much for listening, and I guess we'll see you all later.
All right, bye.